Lift up your hands and just go ahead and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of relationship. Blessed be your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you will breathe upon this service tonight. Thank you for all these awesome testimonies. Only you could have done all of them. We worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. Again, thank you, and thank you, and thank you, Adonai, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. I appreciate everyone's coming. We have a very drastic situation of fuel in the land, but many are able to beat the odds. You don't know your commitment to God until that commitment is tried by various circumstances and situations of life. It is not those who come to church when things are good that matter to God. It is those who still come when everything is against their coming. And I want to congratulate all of you. Those who are watching from home because you think that you don't want to inconvenience yourself, just realize that the Bible says with God, actions are weighed. I don't condemn you, but just understand that God weighs actions. He doesn't just see what we do. He sees the reason why we do them. This is very, very important. Hallelujah. Tonight, we shall be looking at a very, very important subject, and it is titled, The Necessity, or in fact, Purpose, of Financial Blessing. The Necessity of Financial Blessing. In this subject, we are practically here to understand why financial blessing is necessary. Why God will give his people financial blessing. Psalm 35 and in verse 27, the Bible said, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." The Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. There are three basic things that we want to look at by way of introduction on this subject, the necessity of financial blessing. The reason why this is necessary is because many people in the world have a very perverted notion about the blessing of God, especially financial. They think that church shouldn't talk about this at all. They think that this is not an issue that should constitute a preaching subject in church. But the Bible speaks about it from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, some people say that Jesus Christ spoke about money or money matters than any other issue in the New Testament. Now, if you look at Psalm 35 and in verse 27, the Bible said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Is somebody shouting for joy? Here, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, that which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, there are three things that I said we'll consider by way of introduction. Number one, that God is the God of overflowing, overwhelming abundance. The God of excess without stress. We looked at that on Sunday. The God of overflowing, overwhelming abundance. The God of excess without stress. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 8 and in verse 9. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The God of overflowing, overwhelming abundance. We said on Sunday how God is so massive that he created 200 billion trillion stars. That is 2 with 23 zeros at the back. 200 billion trillion stars. Some of the stars are as big as the earth. Some are 1,500 times bigger than the sun. And they exist in our world. We are talking about the God who has one quintillion angels standing in his court to minister to him. That is one with 18 zeros behind it. That is the number, that is the population of the earth times so many. That is multiply the people of the earth by 20 times or so. Standing at once to minister before God as angels. So we serve the God of overwhelming, overflowing abundance. Number two, that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God gives his people the power to get wealth. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He gives his people the power to get wealth. We just saw that now, Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18 say, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is well unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So, first of all, God is the God of overflowing, overwhelming abundance, excess without stress. And then second, this God of overflowing abundance gives his people the power to get wealth. He's the God who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. And then thirdly, it's taking us to purpose. Now, God is the God of plan and purpose. He does all things according to the counsel of his purpose. Or the counsel of his will. According to the purpose of his will. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. God is the God of plans and purpose, who does everything according to the counsel of his will. The Bible said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, he's the God of plans, the God of purpose, does all things according to the counsel of his will. He is the God who does not act aimlessly. He is the God of wealth. He gives resources to his people. What this third point is telling us is that there is a purpose why he gives money to his people. There is a reason why he gives financial blessings to his people. He does not do things aimlessly.
He doesn't just do it just because it has to be done. There is a purpose. So the question is, what is the purpose of financial blessing? Why does God empower his people with wealth? And as we go on this journey, I am anointed to announce to somebody that the days of scarcity in your life, they are over forever. The days of shortage in your life, they are over forever. The days of empty-handedness in the church is over forever. Ye believers, shout the loudest, amen. What is the purpose and the necessity of financial blessing? Number one, to control the resources. Why does God give us financial blessing as a church? Number one, to control the resources of our Heavenly Father. He gives us the power to get wealth so that we are the ones to control the resources of the earth that belongs to Him. The Bible said, we saw it already, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 and in verse 1. Then Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 8 and 9, the Bible said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And he said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50. Verse 10 all the way to verse 12. He said, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you. Because the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So all belongs to God. And all belongs to God. If all belongs to God, it is adequate and it is proper for the children of the owner to be in charge of the property. That was what he did when he created man. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God blessed them. And God said unto man, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In other words, I put you in charge of everything that I have on the earth. Am I communicating at all? Now look at Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 8 to verse 15. Genesis 2 verse 8 to verse 15. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God created every green tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. All these things are under the command of man still. Keep going. Keep going. And the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So God put man in the garden. From the garden went out a river, and the river went to the place of gold. All that was under the command of man. And the gold of that land is good. There is also bdellium, precious stones, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that which compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and take charge. How excited is it for the enemies of your father to be in charge of his property? That is how terrible it is for the enemies of God to be in command of the wealth of the world. That is how terrible it is for terrorism sponsors, kidnap sponsors, drug barons, people who send people to kill. That is how terrible it is for them to be in charge of the wealth. It is only our generation that this abnormality is happening. Because in the days of Abraham, Abraham was in charge of the wealth of his father. In the days of Isaac, Isaac was in charge. In the days of Jacob, Jacob was in charge. In the days of Job, Job was in charge. In the days of David, David was in charge. In the days of Solomon, Solomon was in charge. So till the queen of Sheba came to look at what Solomon was commanding and controlling. It is called kingdom resource control. Kingdom command of resources. I announce to someone here, God is about to position you and position me and position all of us and position the church to command and to control the resources of our Heavenly Father. If God is speaking to you, shout the loudest amen. Shout the Lord most amen. This month is meant to challenge your mind, to change your mind. What they call COVID and all the things that went on because of money in the hands of people who have no heart for human beings. Money in the hands of people who have vowed to reduce the population of the earth. We are seeing COVID complications and terrible things happening from the vaccinations that beat the imagination. Because money in the hands of globalists, in the hands of one world order people. What is changing? I announce to someone here today, Jehovah your God and my God, your Father and my Father, is directing resources and directing finances into the hands of his people, and that includes you in this end time. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat. Don't forget this thought. It is incorrect for the enemies of God to control the wealth of God. It is an abomination for the enemies of the Creator to be in charge of the wealth of the Creator. So, why does God make it necessary to bless his people financially? One, for us to control the resources of our Heavenly Father. Number two, to advertise both the goodness and greatness of our Father. He wants to decorate us with his blessing so we can advertise to our generation both the goodness and the greatness of our Father. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to verse 8 said, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said, For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, as they see the glory upon you, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Why? Because they can see things around you. Lift your eyes round about yourself and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons are being brought from afar. Your daughters shall be north at thy side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of the camels shall cover you. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold, they shall bring incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. They shall, and the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. And then you shall take off in the flight. You shall just take off in the air, and they will be saying, Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove to their window? Somebody is about to take off. It's about to take off. It's about to take off. In the name of Jesus, on your mask, get set, fly. He wants to decorate us to the point where people will be wondering, what is this man's source? Who is he? Where is he from? What is his secret? Who is he serving? What charm is he using? What cult does he belong to? take your seat. That leads us to Psalm 61 and in verse 9. And he said, all that see them, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Isaiah 61 verse 9. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Their seed shall be known. Their children will be identified among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them. They shall take notice of them. They shall confirm that they are the seed which the Lord has decorated. They are the seed which the Lord has blessed. God does not want you to be a bad representative of heaven, a bad advertiser of heaven, struggling to pay children's school fees until you are borrowing money from unbelievers, living squatting with somebody who doesn't know God until they are driving you and say your prayer is disturbing them in the night. It's an abomination. Driving moto, that is smoking in the middle. And the only way people know you have arrived is by the sound of the vehicle. Because it's sounding bigger than locomotive. Abomination. That is bad advertisement. When you say to somebody, come follow me to my God, you say the God that has not changed your life yet, the God that has not changed your story yet, but I am here to announce that is changing right now. 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 If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Your resources, your result will soon begin to preach more than your voice. Take your seat. That was what happened with Solomon. When God loaded Solomon, people came from everywhere. The Queen of Sheba came. He did not only acknowledge that Solomon was rich. She acknowledged that God, the God of Solomon, was good. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 4. 1 Kings 10 4. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was the true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half of was not told to me. Your wisdom and your prosperity is in excess of the fame. What people are talking about is shadow compared to what I am seeing, which I heard. Happy are these your men, happy are your workers, who stand by before you and that hear your wisdom. Now look at verse 9. Blessed be the Lord. Unbeliever queen is recognizing the Lord. Queen from Ethiopia, blessed be the Lord. Who told you about the Lord? As in those days, the God of Israel was squarely restricted and limited to the people of Israel. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king. Solomon has not preached to her yet, but the money was preaching. The wealth was preaching. The results were preaching. The resources was preaching. God is about to give you a result that is going to preach to unbelievers. He's going to give you a result that will preach to unbelievers. You know, there is nothing that humbles rich people like the richer wealth of a richer person. As tiny as this little place is, as tiny as it is, it has humbled many people. One airline operator came here some time ago, owns an aircraft himself, or aircraft himself, but also does. And he looked and looked and I said, do you know how many aircrafts this roof? Only the roof can buy.
You say, yes, sir. Neatly. That was what God did to Solomon. And the kings of the earth trooped in his direction. I want you to expand your mind. You have struggled for too long. You have struggled to convince people. To convince people that God is real. You have struggled to convince people that there is a God. I am here to announce to you, God is going to give you resources that will terminate the struggle. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Give the Lord a deep clap of hand and take your seat. God wants to use you and use me to show his massiveness, his obadabadaness, his agidibashiousness to the world. That is a big God. We serve a big, big God. Big, big God. We serve a big, big God. During the construction of this sanctuary, God's servant Papoyedeko came. He came here almost 4 or 5 times before the construction was complete. And we were under that the grace gate there, that under that side there were. And at that time, the first beam was lifted. And then all the structures, the concrete, he looked up and he said, this construction is reminding me of the song. We serve a big, big God. He said, do you know the song? Big, big God. And when a person who does not know how to do small things is talking about big, big God, then the unbelieving world will say more. God wants to show the world that he is not a midget, he's not dwarf. He wants to use you to show the world that he is a giant who gives birth to giants. Hey! Hey! Lift your right hand and say, I serve a big, big God. And there is nothing small about my life. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Are you ready for what God has in store for us tonight? Number 3. Why does God? One of my children, after watching the program, he said, Daddy, this midweek message looks like it's a Sunday message. I said, yes, all messages can be Sunday messages so that more people can listen to this. And if we are to do that, then we won't have the time to finish preaching everything per month, per syllabus. That is why it is good to be in church all the time, because you don't know when the bombs will be dropping. Hallelujah. Number 3, to worship God, to serve and worship God. To serve and worship our Creator wholeheartedly and without the distraction of lack and scarcity. God is giving his children, his people, financial blessing so that we can, please invert it, worship and serve. To worship and serve our Creator wholeheartedly without the distraction of lack and scarcity. Deuteronomy chapter 7, chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. 6, 7 to 10. Thou shalt teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Keep going. Okay, I think I've. All right. Meanwhile, go to Joel 2:26. While I look for that. And you shall eat in plenty. Can I hear a louder amen? You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. After you have eaten in plenty and you are satisfied, what is the natural consequence? And praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You shall eat in plenty.
And you shall be satisfied. And what is natural
is that you will praise the name of the Lord. I learned a lot from children. In our house in those days, many, many years ago, after food, one of them, a song must rise. That is immediately after they eating. The song is one particular song and it's very natural. Can't remember. We are saying thank you. Something, it just flows. It's just in line with this scripture. Very, very natural. Your smiles are natural. The spring under your feet is natural. Your dance is natural. Am I communicating? Poverty is an adversity. Scarcity is a calamity. Do you understand? Proverbs chapter 10 verse 15. It says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Mark chapter 12 verse 29 all the way to verse 31 is, and Jesus answered him and said, first of all, the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, love the Lord your God. Back up to verse 30. With all your heart, with all your soul, not thinking of house rent, all your mind, not thinking of children's school fees, all your strength. Now, one of the things that will make you not to fulfill this commandment is scarcity. Shortage. Because it's impossible. There are people, they are calculating how to face landlord after service. So half of the message did not enter the head. I heard some time ago where the pastor said, praise the Lord, and somebody screamed, 100 naira. Many, over 20-something years ago, 100 naira he was owing somebody at home, and he was thinking of it while the service was on, and the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And so when there was time to speak, that was the response that came out. How many people have killed themselves and gone to hell on the issue of money, scarcity, shortage? This person, I've received such text messages maybe in the last 1 week, up to two or three. I don't think this life is worth it. I'm owing somebody, they say they are taking me to court tomorrow. I want to end it. Now, the kind of messages we receive, you need the Spirit of God not to be under pressure permanently and have blood pressure. That's the kind of problem people have, and the bombardment of it on a permanent basis. It looks like everybody has our number everywhere, from anywhere in the world. Am I communicating at all? Scarcity, poverty, shortage. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. He said, the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Somebody say amen. A land of brooks of water. A ladder, amen. Of fountains and deserts that spring out of valleys and hills. Can you hear a ladder, amen? A land of wheat, a land of barley, a land of vines, a land of fig trees. Don't wait for another person to say amen before you say it. A land of pomegranates, a land of olive oil, anointing, a land of honey. A land where you will eat bread without scarcity. Where you will eat food without scarceness. And you shall not lack anything in it. A land out of whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig brass. In this land, when you have eaten and you are full, then thou what? Shall bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has. Doliciously, by dole. Are you aware of that English word? by dole. You shall doliciously bless the name of the Lord your God, which brought you into that land. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Last week, one man told me, he said, he flew to London, family, in a private jet. London. When they landed, immigration came to meet them inside the aircraft. Not Nigeria. To fill their forms and to check them in. No harassment of why are you here? How many days are you staying? What is your issue? He said, after they filled the form and they came down and they started going straight to their car, which was, I think, on the tarmac. The wife said, is that all? Are we not meeting anybody again? He said, nobody. We are finished. We are entering straight now. The wife said, I won't travel another way again. No. I refuse to travel another way. Not Nigeria. Obodo Ibo. And somebody said, those who don't know God at all, who are deep in the occult, should be the only people who should experience that. They should be the only people who should experience such. For knowing God, you should be a sufferhead. That devil is a bastard. I just say something now to provoke some people's mind. Do you know there is a level of money you will have that they will give you residency in the UK? In the US? It's not green, it's not anything. You are an asset. They give you such a business or an investment visa that gives you automatic residential status that changes you to possess their passport. But scarcity will make them harass you until. What are you going to do there? Will you come back? What are you going to do there? Do you have any economic ties to Nigeria? No, we suspect you. The way you are looking, you are a suspect. You will return. Even in Nigeria, you know there is a vehicle you will drive that VIO can't stop you. There is another one. When they see you come 1 kilometer, about 5 of them will be on the road. Stop! 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 You are a suspect on the account of scarcity. Stop! Bring your particular. Say, this is the particular. Is it correct? What of fire extinguisher? What of something triangle? Turn on all your headlights. Do this, trafficator. Hey! Somebody stand on your feet and say, I have left that level. I have left that level. Say, in the name of Jesus, no devil can keep me at that level. Shout the loudest, amen. If your motive is clear with God, and heaven is your focus, and impact is your target, massive resources gives you a lot of focus, a lot of rest. You know, when there is no money in the pocket, and you come to a restaurant, the question you ask is, how much is a plate of food? Ha 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 ha.
important thing is not whether you like that food.
No. Cost is an issue.
But when you are fully loaded, you ask for what you want. You know the cost later.
Listen, I am not a money preacher. But I preach the Bible. I preach the scripture. And I believe in the good things of God and the good things of life. And I hate suffering.
And I think there are many people here like that.
I hate the suffering of people. I hate generally because suffering is of the devil. Am I speaking to somebody here? I prophesy to you today, your days of scarcity, your days of shortage, your days of empty-handedness, they are over forever. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and let's begin to see how we can round off. Some people say that God does not, that Christians should just endure this life until the life to come. No way. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world. Okay, let me read it the other way. The way people want it to sound. Charge them that are poor in this world. That they should not be low-minded. Or distrust in poverty, but in the living God, who giveth us nothing so that we can endure.
Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
So enjoy is in Bible.
I am not talking of enjoyment of sin or the pleasures of sin. Godly quality, decent, honest enjoyment. Clean, neat, tidy enjoyment.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to take three more? I have not finished and you are shouting. Number four. What is the purpose and the necessity of financial blessing? Number four, to spread the kingdom and principles of God around the earth. To spread the kingdom and the principles of God around the earth. Massive resources is used for massive kingdom assignment. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. My cities, my kingdom, through prosperity spreads in the earth. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 9. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. He said, for thus saith the Lord, yet once is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. For that purpose, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody say aloud, amen. The kingdom of God advances aggressively by massive finances. Advances aggressively. What kind of advancement are we talking about? Advancement number one, a massive evangelistic crusade. Massive evangelistic crusade. We are in Calabar tomorrow. We are not going to take a dime of offering on the crusade ground. Millions upon millions spent for crusade venue, handbills, billboards, television, radio jingle, every single thing. We are going to fly people down and fly people back. Massive resources. Been doing those crusades. Can you show some of those crusade clips? Jalingo Crusade, Port Harcourt Crusade this January, and several of the other crusades. Right? Without taking a dime. Poverty attacks this kind of impact. You didn't hear what I just said? Scarcity and shortage, it attacks this kind of impact. This is Oka Church dedication. People inside, outside. By Elsa Church dedication. People inside, outside. Pastor Charles is here today. I think I'm seeing you even in that picture right now. From Bielsa. Hallelujah. Massive evangelistic crusades. The second impact is massive church planting. A few days ago, someone sent me a text message and he said, sir, I want to have the permission to be able to build 10 churches. Just let me know where and how to go about it. We haven't replied yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? That is what the devil hates. He wants the church poor so that the impact of the church can be crippled. Am I communicating? So that it remains where two or three are gathered. No, in those days, it's as poor as the church rat. Nothing is ever nothing. I mean, in those days, there were no parking lots for church because nobody was expected to come with a car. The devil is a bastard. Massive church planting. And we are embarking on some right now. Number three is massive welfare outreach. Massive welfare outreach and administration. Sink a borehole in a community. Give them electricity somewhere. Build primary schools somewhere. Build secondary schools somewhere. The secondary school where I went, we built for them a chapel free of charge. That chapel is still there. Standard one, I think, is the most standard structure in that place right now. I'm sure the ICT will have that clip. Primary school where I went, built a primary school block there. That is where we hold crusades, somewhere in Benue State. Somewhere we went somewhere else, built primary school, built houses for people. Oh no, I can't even go into detail now. This happens on the frequency of wealth. Ongoing work in a village somewhere around here. That's the Wesley High School Chapel. Am I communicating at all? Listen, you do more good to your generation with money than without. Without money, you may have moral support. But ego label moral support. We need the monetary value of moral support. I will tell you the story of that one another day. The story of ego label moral support. Am I communicating? Do you know another area where the church impacts the world? It is education trust. You know that the topmost institutions of learning in the world were church started and church funded. Cambridge, Oxford, Harvard, Yale, 8 out of 10 of these universities. Listen to this. I went to a Catholic primary school, went to a Methodist secondary school. Maybe if there was a mission university at the time we went to school, maybe a Catholic or a Methodist, or maybe we would have gone there. We went to those schools, and today people are asking. We went to mission school free of charge. Why is it that churches have schools that are not free today? And it's a major issue of contention. That when the white people brought us schools, brought us hospitals, brought us these things, nobody paid. But church, established school, and things today, and people pay. There is just one major difference. We didn't pay then, but somebody paid for it. They had education trust fund. John D. Rockefeller single-handedly at once gave $120 million in his time to his denomination's education trust fund. Those were the funds that was, and the journalist asked him at that time, we heard that you gave $120 million to your church education. Is that not too much? And he answered them, he said, God gave me the money, and I am giving it back to God. What is your business? Am I speaking to somebody at all? So the equipments were paid for. Teacher's salary was inside. Everything was inside. So that Christianity can be spread, and then the voice of the gospel can go on the wings of education. And it is still possible today. If there are church people that will commit. I told about, had a meeting this early this year, our church leadership, and I told them I still have the passion of having one school that is a totally free school, church school, where it is funded both by church and people who are dust-minded. That this school now, for example, children that cannot afford school fees, orphans and those kind of people, they will have the same level of education with anybody who paid $2 million to go to school. And it is going to be funded by people who feel called in the line of funding the gospel through education. The songs we learned at us in assembly line, in primary one, in form one, form two, just one. Those songs, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on us. Trust and hope. All those songs are there in the subconscious. Even when you struggle to miss road, the song is pulling you back. Take my life and let it be consecrated. The songs are there. You are a child of 11, 12 years, but you are singing this, chanting this in the assembly line every morning. Whether you know it or not, it's entering you. And it's changing you. In our school here now, the children are singing all the songs we are singing in the church here right now. And it's just entering them. Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. That is the impact of Christian education. And this impact can still happen. If there are people that will be given, that will trust God for massive resources, and these massive resources can be channeled into probably free education for those especially who cannot afford. Somebody say aloud, amen. So the education of those days, we didn't pay, somebody paid for it. People paid for it. They gave money. They saw it as a missionary effort. And they gave the money to send the schools out so that people can know God through education. Somebody say a loud amen. Let me begin to round up because of time. That was point number four now. Number five, why is it that God gives His people resources? Number five, to give both voice and force to the gospel in the earth. God gives us the money, the means, the blessing, so as to give voice and force to the gospel in the earth. Voice and force. The voice of the church and the voice of the gospel will never be heard if the members are all poor people. Do you understand? The poor man's voice is never heard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14 to 16. He said, there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. He said, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. He delivered the city. Then said I, wisdom, is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. He's a poor man, he is wise. But somebody is asking, what kind of wisdom is this that did not give you money? The poor man's wisdom is despised, and his voice is not heard. The wisdom of a poor church is despised, and the voice is not heard. The wisdom of a poor church person is despised, and his voice is not heard. You are in your village, you are in your community. They are talking about people who have something to say, and they never refer to you because they think you don't have anything. But I am here to announce to you, it is changing right now. That amen is too paralyzed. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. It is changing right now. You know Joseph of Arimathea, when everybody was afraid and hiding after Jesus died, he went straight to Pilate. Matthew 27, verse 57. He went straight to Pilate. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged. The word begged is the word demanded for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. You see, the Bible said he was a rich disciple. And he took that body. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. In those days, rich men, wealthy people, they dig their grave, prepare it before they die. Joseph, already, poor people, don't dare that. They are still trying to see how they can succeed. am I communicating? You know, in Mount Olive now, people are buying land there for their burial ground in Israel. They say that is where Jesus will land when he arrives. So if they are buried there, at least they are sure of going. Joseph, and it is a garden tomb. If you go there in Israel today, where they call the garden tomb, beautiful place. That was where the grave of Joseph of Arimathea, bought in advance of his death, was. But this is the key thing. While Peter was hiding, John was dodging, Thomas was doubting. Everybody was wondering who is the next person to be crucified. Let us dodge Pilate, dodge Herod. John the Beloved was the only one standing at the foot of the cross. Joseph Arimathea went straight to show himself to Pilate. I am one of the man's disciples, the person you just killed. Pilate, you know me and I know you. We meet in city council. You are not more important than me. You people have done your worst. Now, I want his body. Pilate said, Joe, I'm sorry. Joe, please, this is beyond me, you know. It was the decision of the host, the decision of everybody. I don't know why everybody went against the man, but you know, you saw how I washed my hand from this case. My wife even dreamt terrible dreams. I washed my hand from this whole case. But it was beyond me. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. Hey, soldier, bring that body now. He commanded. The body was brought and he delivered it to Pilate. Sorry about your loss. I didn't know you are one of his disciples. No wonder you are so successful following such a good man. We'll talk later when we meet next. That is the voice and the force that wealth creates. You can talk to authority at their level. You don't see yourself inferior to governor or president. You know, there are billionaires that presidents of nations worship. They literally worship them so they can bring investment to their country. And they say, I need this in place. Yes, sir. Your country does not have uninterrupted power supply. What will you do about that? We are going to work on it, sir. What of the central rail line? We are going to work on it, sir. They give them their terms. because when you have the means, you have the voice.
That is what the devil does not want the church to have. He wants the church to be a beggarly church, apologizing all the time. He doesn't want people in the church, principal men and principal women, to rise up out of the church, because he doesn't want us to have the voice. He doesn't want us to have the force. But that is ending right now. Can somebody say louder, amen? The time is coming, and that time is right now, where the topmost person in aviation shall come out of the church. The topmost person in oil and gas shall come out of the church. The topmost person in manufacturing, in industry, shall come out of the church. The topmost people in every realm and every field shall come out of the church. And you are coming out of the church with a voice and with a force. Shout the loudest, amen.
Then the church does what government cannot do. The church does what authorities cannot do. One of our locations in the north constructed a small road in the place where they are. When they were dedicating, an emir appeared bodily. A bigger emir sent his assistant emir, who is also an emir, and he said, "We have acknowledged what the church, that since the history of this place, no church ever did, or nobody ever did what you have done. To an individual doing something for the government, we came to acknowledge you and recognize you, and to let you know if there's anything you need, let us know." Of the other religion, call Muslim state in this nation. We'll be there soon for the crusade, and you will be shocked to see some of them on the crusade ground. Am I communicating at all? That is the voice of the gospel. Lift up your. You know, the Catholic Church is treated like a country. It's a country. It's a country within another country. They have ambassadors in every country. And they have their currency. They have their police. I've been to the Vatican City before. They have their police. They have everything there. By virtue of substance. By virtue of substance. When the Pope speaks, nobody will say, "Who is that one talking?" Irrespective of what you feel about him. They have resources, they have number. When you combine these two, that is terror. Somebody say aloud, amen. But we are rising to the level where communities will begin to fear you as an individual. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift your right hand, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. And I round off with a final point, number 6. Now, before I go to number 6. How many of you know that most people claim that Jesus was poor, his disciples were poor, the church is meant to be poor, that Jesus said, "Foxes have hole, the birds of the air have nest, but I don't have where to lay my head." He said that not in the context of poverty, but in the context of assignment. "I am permanently on the go. In fact, one day I preached for 72 hours without blinking. When he said, 'They have been with me for 3 days.' The time I have is too short to think of where to sleep or how to sleep. But in terms of resources, abundant." How many poor people you know now? Now, in all due respect, in this place right now, how many people have personal treasurer? That is, your money is so much you employ the treasurer. That's personal money, not even organization yet. Jesus was so poor, he got a thief as a treasurer. Now the question I ask, now under the next 1 year, your resources will be so big, you will need a personal accountant.
If you are saying the loudest, amen.
Take your seat. Do poor people have accountants? No, they are the ones to be accounted for. You just be sure that they can be accounted for. In John chapter 12, if you look at from verse 2 all the way to verse 5, Judas Iscariot, they made him a supper, and Martha sat, but Lazarus was one of them that sat with him at the table. And then they took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, wished to betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he was in charge of the bag and bear what was put inside. I'm sure you saw the other translation the other day. He helped himself out of it. He embezzled the money. And yet Jesus left him there. Because the money was too much, even a thief cannot finish it. Hallelujah. Jesus traveled. Not just with canoe or boat, but sheep. You know the difference? The canoe, energy. The boat, maybe it's motorized. But sheep is a mobile mansion, mobile house. That was how he traveled. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 36. Poor people don't travel like that. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. Now, it doesn't stop there. And there were also with him other little ships. If it was today, he didn't drive a car. Cars. That was the rich Jesus, the poor Jesus that they want us to believe. He should have said, no, I don't need sheep. I can walk on the water. You people, do your best. I need to exemplify poverty. No need to be inside anything like sheep. I need to walk on the water. Let me cross and meet you on the other side. For where? He was inside sheep. Sheep, so tell he has bed. Bed, so tell he lay his hand on the pillow. That is called first class cabin. If not a private one. When there was a storm, they had to wake him up. The Bible says he was asleep on the pillow. When last you sleep with a pillow inside the car? Nothing scarce. Nothing poor. When he died, they carried his coat, his long suit, and divided it into parts so everybody can have a portion. In fact, one carried it. Then the inner one, they divided it into, they cast lot. Who will own this? The outer one, they divided. The inner one, they say, no, this one is too small. Let somebody pick it. And then, tinini tanana. And then it landed on one, and that one was the owner. When was the last time people struggled over anybody's coat? It was seamless. Somebody say a loud amen. Yeah. When next somebody told you, don't talk about money because Jesus was a poor man, tell him, I don't think so. I don't think so. The scripture says otherwise. Scriptures here that communicate to us that a poor man does not move the way he moved. I have many, many things I could say. When he told Judas, what thou doest, do it quickly. The Bible says some of the disciples thought that he was asking Judas to go and buy something or to go and give something to the poor because he was always buying or giving. You have to be in possession of substance to buy and to give, not beg and borrow. Let's leave this side for now. But
I tell you, your voice shall be heard.
I said your voice shall be heard. I said your voice shall be heard. Finally, number six. Why is it necessary? Let's go from number one and then we'll land at number six. Number one, to control the resources of our Heavenly Father, God wants us blessed financially. Number two, to advertise both the goodness and the greatness of our Father, He wants us blessed. Number three, to worship and serve our Creator wholeheartedly and without the distraction of lack and scarcity. He wants us to be blessed financially. Number four, to spread the kingdom and the principles of God in evangelism, in church planting, and so forth. He wants us blessed. And number five, to give both voice and force to the gospel in the earth. He wants us blessed. And number six, to exist as God's agents and channels of generational blessing. God's agents and channels of generational blessing. He said to Abraham, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. I will bless you. I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shall be a blessing. He wants to bless us. He wants us to bless the world, to impact the world at large, especially the poor of the world, with the blessing of God. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 17 all the way to verse 19, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works. Let them be ready to distribute, willing to spread and to share. Am I communicating? Somebody say amen. God wants to bless the world, and He wants to use you to bless the world. And let me open your eyes to something. How do you bless the world? First, blessing the poor and the widow in the land with sustenance. The poor, the widow in the land. The poor and the widow in the land, and widows in the land with sustenance. Second, is blessing the orphans and the indigent. Orphans and the desolate to fulfill their vision and purpose. The widow's house rent is due, or the widow needs a house. The orphan needs to go to school. He needs to be sponsored through school. The orphans and the indigent to fulfill their vision and their purpose, so that the young man can still become a medical doctor, even though his father has died, his mother has died. Our third is to bless the jobless and the unemployed with job creation. The jobless and the unemployed. God wants you to be an instrument where you have a factory, an industry, a manufacturing organization with 10,000 employees. So your money is not just used for the menial things of this life, but somebody is thanking God because of you. And of course, to bless the sick and the afflicted with remedy. The sick, if they say somebody will die now, except he does a kidney transplant that requires 5 million naira. If he doesn't get 5 million naira to do a kidney transplant, he dies. When you don't have the 5 million naira to assist him, what happens? He dies. You helplessly watch your loved one, your friend, your relation fade off because you are limited by scarcity. God forbid. If you have the 5 million, what will you do? It is released. And the man has his life back. And is grateful to God and grateful to you that you gave him a second chance at living. Isn't that a better way to live? Somebody's leg is about to be amputated. But if he has $20,000, they can do a treatment modality that will make that leg to remain.
If you don't have the $20,000 to give him, then for the rest of his life, his leg is cut. Even if he wears a prosthesis, it's not totally the same. But if you have the $20,000 and you know that money is in your hand for a purpose, then that person's leg is preserved. And you cannot preserve someone's leg and the devil tamper with your stability in life. That is being a blessing to your world. A child is about to be driven out of school. You are rich enough, not just to help that child, but to have a foundation. And when we talk about foundation, don't become the kind of people that are looking for money to steal. I'm running an NGO. And they are looking for money from all kinds of sponsors and funders and givers. Not to help people, but to enrich their pocket. I tell people who want to have foundations and NGOs, I said, make the money yourself and fund your own NGO with your money. Am I communicating at all? Is God speaking to somebody at all? This is being it. You see, I will bless you so you can be a blessing. I want you to touch the world. I want you to change the world. I want you to touch lives with money. I want to give you money so that a poor person will thank God that you exist. So that a widow will not over-lament the death of the husband. So that an orphan will not over-lament the death of his father or her father. That is the purpose why you must have money. If you don't have it, many times you look wicked in the eyes of the suffering and the needy. You look like a wicked person. See me in problem and you cannot help me. And it is not because you don't want to give it that you don't have. It is have that you don't have. Do you know that vernacular? It is have that you don't have. Am I communicating at all? This is my most exciting part. That I am a blessing to my... I was in Makurdi Church preaching. And two young ladies rushed at me. And they were greeting me and my wife said, don't you know them? I said, I don't know them. One read English, right? The other one read engineering. And he said, don't you know them? You are the one paying their school fees. Their father is late. The other one has graduated. You are the one paying their school fees. I said, oh, really? I don't know them. The Lord bless you all. They have all graduated since. The other one, I think, is in church here right now. Got a job with the bank. And then came to me with her first fruit. I said, thank you, sir. Just to let you know, I have graduated. And I'm in the bank working now. And this is my first salary. As my prophet and my father, I brought it to you to honor you. And later on, she now began to advertise her bank to us. So that we can, so we can patronize them. That is how life should be. You are sponsoring people you are not even aware. You prevented someone from dying by releasing resources you are not even aware. That is how to live. Not just that I have a great car. It's good to have a great car. Oh, I am having a private jet. Oh, it's good to have all that. But this ultimately is what God is trusting to do with your life. Stretch your two hands and I prophesy to you today. In the name of Jesus, what is called scarcity shall never be your portion forever. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Prophesy upon your hands. I prophesy upon your hands. I prophesy upon your hands. Scarcity shall never be your portion. Shortage shall never be your portion. Listen to me, beloved. I have not just preached tonight to excite you. I am trusting God for massive resources. Massive human resources.
financial resources for the massive end time harvest. I'm trusting God for a thousand multi-billionaires of the kingdom and more. Somebody just sent a message now. He said, please expedite and let me know what to do about the Education Trust Fund. That is someone watching is in a hurry. Oh, is it how it happens and that was what happens and what is meant to happen? Let us know how to do it and how to go about it so we can run with it. Two things I want you to do. Take your seat. You know, when it borders on issues of finances, you don't preach people into it. You teach them into it. Because there are practices. I can pray for you for a witch to die, but I can't pray for you for money to come if there are things you have not done. The money may come and disappear the way it came. What will you do to access this financial blessing that God is speaking about? What will you do? Number one, decide, make the decision to become one of God's agents or channels of financial blessing in your generation. Make the decision to become one of God's agents or channels of financial blessing in your generation. Make me an Abraham of my time. Lord, make me an Isaac of my time. Lord, make me a Jacob of my time. A Solomon of my time. A Joseph of Arimathea. You make that decision because Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, also choose blessing, that both you and your seed may live. You have a choice in the matter. As for me, I can't die a pauper. I can't die in penury. I can't die in scarcity. Many years ago, my wife and I, we held hands before we ever became pastors. The way ancient monks used to do what they call vow of poverty. We held our hands and did vow of abundance. Father, we agree with you to become your depot of wealth, of resources, for the sake of the kingdom. It was a conscious decision. Remember? Plateau Hospital in Jos. Some time back, we went to visit that house. It is, you make, in Psalm 122 verse 9, the psalmist said, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. The NIV, the old NIV. I'm sure you know that the new NIV, there's something, a challenge. I'll talk about that later. An organization has bought that, bought the whole of that press and then removed critical verses out of verses that mention heaven, hell, and several. Well, we'll talk about that later. But this the original. He said, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. I am going to be rich. Not because I want to be called a millionaire in the world, but for the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of God. For the sake of the church. For the sake of building churches. For the sake of evangelism, for the sake of helping the poor, the needy, for the sake of being a blessing to my generation. I cannot just pass through this life
just like that. I can't leave my world the way I met it. For the sake of impacting a generation, I must have money. I will not have little money, plenty of it. For the sake of persecuting the devil, I must have money. It's a decision to make. There are those who, like they say in our place, if you mention Kolanut, dog will shake his ears and shake his head. I'm not interested. I don't eat Kolanut. When you're talking about what we are talking about, somebody say, look, I'm just looking for where to sleep. Just talking of, I'm just living at the backside of Karmajiji. And just looking for how to come out. You're talking of a million or billion. No. Change your mind. Change your mind. Until you change your mind, you don't change your life. Where you are is a product of how you think. And if you change your thinking long enough, you will stay. It's where you are. Am I communicating? I don't care whether you live inside the hole. You must make up your mind that one day, my major assignment is to be pulling people out of holes and giving houses to people that don't have. Am I communicating? What about somebody having so much money and you build a house in an estate just to make people have houses? And you say, pay me salary monthly. Don't pay for 1 year. Don't pay for 2 years. Don't pay for 3 years. And don't pay agency fee. Pay me $50,000 every month. And I want you to sign an agreement. If you pay without fail for 10 years, the house is yours. What about that? I am not trying to make money out of you. I am trying to give you a house. And I want to make life comfortable for you. In my generation, I was homeless. My children were homeless. Maybe that was your history now. And I want to ensure that homelessness is dissolved. All those people who want to kill you, pay 2 years, pay 5 years, pay 10 years. You don't have that 5 years, 10 years. And we have a country that is a very fantastic country. And there is so much money flowing. So, for that purpose, I don't want to suffer you. Pay me house rent monthly. No agency fee, no lawyer fee, nothing. It's just me and you. Please, agent, don't be angry with me. Because you are saying, why is pastor trying to stop our money? And lawyer, don't be angry with me. I'm not against you. Just pay. When you pay that $50,000 for 1 year, you have paid me $600,000. And for 10 years, you have paid $6 million. That $6 million is the cost of the house. After that, it becomes your own. That is maybe one room. It becomes your own. How about changing lives for people like that? And then you have 10,000 people you have done that for. They will bless you, bless your generation, bless your children. And if anybody dares you, they will kill the person until you cannot find a cell of that person. Just think blessing. Think blessing. Think blessing. Just make up the decision. I am going to bless my world. I'm going to be one of those that God will use to change lives. And number two, subscribe to the demands of being a blessing. Decide. As for me, I can never be poor. Whatever it takes, I must have money. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to steal. I am not going to cheat. I am not going to lie. I am not going to be fraudulent, but I am going to have resources. Whatever it takes, in the righteous way, I am going to have money. And then you make that decision. And then you subscribe to the demands of supernatural blessing and abundance. You subscribe. Every scriptural provision has practical condition. You
subscribe.
Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to do all that he says you should do, then these blessings will come upon you. Subscribe!
Let me round up by saying this. If you are going to lie down in green pastures, and you are going to have access to still waters, you must submit yourself to the direction, instruction, and guidance of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
If you are going to lie down in green pastures, means you are swimming in abundance. What other people are looking for, you are lying inside it. And if you are going to access the still waters,
you must submit yourself to the instruction, the direction, and the guidance of the shepherd.
Throughout the rest of the month, instructions will be coming. Directions will be coming. It will bother on obeying God, bother on hearing where God wants you to go. It will bother on the principles of the tithe, on the sowing and the givings. It will bother on several things. You are going to catch them and run with them because you have made up your mind that whether the devil likes it or not, you can never be poor. You have made up your mind that even if your village name is poverty, you have escaped the poverty. You have made up your mind that no principality, no power, no witch, no wizard can keep you poor. I prophesy upon somebody, a 360 degrees turnaround is happening to you right now. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen.
Did you do that 360 degrees? If you believe a turnaround is happening, give the Lord a 360 degrees turnaround shout of hallelujah!
When we just did that, the Lord showed me that for somebody, you are receiving the mantle today to bring your father's house out. To bring your father's house out. To bring your father's house out. To bring your community out.
Some of you here tonight, because of you, your father, your family name shall literally become a household name. The name of your father, or whatever he represented, shall come out. One day a young man told me, he said, his father was wealthy, rich in those days. The father died, and the father's name and everything disappeared. And then God used me to impact his life, served in our church for 11 years, became a minister, and after that, God took him. And he came to me and he said, thank you, sir, for helping me and help me, my household. See, I thought my father's name has been lost forever. See, but God has used you to bring us out. You are coming out. You are coming out. Did you receive something tonight?
Lift up your hands and your voices and appreciate him for what you have received. 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 Honor him. Adore him. Worship him. Magnify him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. The supremacy. The dominion, the rule. Let us see the Ahabaradisho. Father, we give you the praise. 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 Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name.
That Sunday service message, pick it up. And this message, pick it up also. and God will use it to change your life. Lift your two hands everywhere you are and say after me, say, Father, I thank you for your word to me tonight. I have decided Say, I have decided.
I have decided.
I have decided.
I have decided.
Today. To be a channel.
To be a channel.
Of your blessing.
Of your blessing.
To my generation.
To my generation.
I am accessing.
I am accessing.
And I shall access.
And I shall access.
Supernatural supply.
Supernatural supply.
Abundance.
Abundance.
And wealth.
And wealth.
For my generation.
For my generation.
I have decided.
I have decided.
I cannot be poor.
I cannot be poor.
I refuse to be rented.
Now.
I step in.
I step in.
To that realm.
To that
Open
realm.
Your mouth and speak to God.
To the demands of supernatural supply.
I receive the grace to subscribe to the demand of kingdom wealth.
I receive the grace to subscribe.
Oh Lord.
In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray.
Lift up your hands. What God is doing is laying so much word on our lives, changing our minds, and changing our lives, and our lives can never remain the same. Everywhere you are this night, and I like the communion people to take their position right now, fast. Everywhere you are tonight, you are in need of surrender to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day in your life. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. I'd like you to pray this prayer with me wherever you are and say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. The grace to serve you, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone who prayed that prayer, you meant that prayer. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly rush to the frontier. You pray that prayer, you meant that prayer. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly rush to the frontier. Celebration song while they come forward. I'll give you the count of seven. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things we are talking about can be added unto you. If you don't know God, you just heard, the message you heard does not belong to you. So come and make your ways right. Come and have addictions broken. Come and have chains broken. Come and have yokes broken. Come and have everything that is not of God in your life broken. Give the Lord a big clap as you come forward, and then song of... Go ahead. You are God. Take your seat, people.
You are not just people. You are not just lasso. You are a great God. You are God.
Shout out praise. Place your hand on your chest, those of you in the front. You have a need to rededicate yourself to God. Please step forward also quickly and pray this prayer with me, those of you in the front now. Say, Lord Jesus, pray. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am in need of your help. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken, and fresh grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.